Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lackawanna Power Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning. Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. And Kip Stender's in the studio and talking girls golf, and busy week for you, Kip.
Yeah, it was. We had two events, or 2 days worth, but three events. We started on Tuesday with McCray hosting nine holes in Raymond, and then Central Minnesota Christian was the second nine in Raymond. Girls did very well. The first meet, Dawson Boyd won it with a 175, Community Christian 184, and Lackawanna Valley with a 195. The medalists on the day, Alyssa Swadinsky and Molly Halverson, tied for 41, but I believe Alyssa was the medalist with the scorecard playoff. In third was Kyler Yomlin from Dawson Boyd. Fourth was Peyton Sachs, tied with Claire Stratmon from Dawson with the 43. Kate Alstead was eighth with a 47. And then rounding out was Harper Valla with a 64, America Villa 69, and Haven Anderson with a 79 for the Eagles. On the next round, back-to-back nines, you just keep playing. And in third place for the team was Community Christian with the 184. Second place was Dawson Boyd with a 175. And in first place, the Eagles with a 172. So it's our best round of the season so far. And girls really improved a lot. They took, 23 strokes off from the first nine. So definitely golfed much better and much more focused, and things that we've been working on. So very, very good. Medalist on the day was Molly Halverson with a 38. Hope Reed finished second with a 29. Peyton Sachs tied with that, or 39, I mean. And Peyton Sachs also shot a 39. Can't remember which one took second or third in that tie. So Alyssa Swadinsky was fourth with a 40. Kate Alstead and Claire Stratmon tied for 41 for fifth. Rounding out the Eagles was Harper Valla with a 54. That was her personal best of the year. America Villa 62 and Haven Anderson a 63. So she improved by 16 strokes on her nine. It was her first varsity meet, young seventh grader. So wow. A nice job there for her to come around that second nine and shoot that much better. Then we went to Oakdale and played in a tournament that Sleepy Eye United was hosting. Very nice tournament there, and we did. The girls golfed well. Winning the tournament with a 348 was Dawson Boyd, and second was Lackawanna Valley with a 371. Marshall was third with a 378. RTR fourth with a 380. Sleepy Eye United 409. Mountain Lake 410, and New Ulm rounded out the 7-team event with a 421. Medalist on the day with a nice 77, round of 77, was Alyssa Swadinsky. And then second place was Molly Halverson with an 80. And then tied for third was Kate Alstead and Tegan O'Leary. And I believe Kate got the medal for third on the scorecard playoff with 83s. Rounding out the Eagles, Peyton Sachs with a 93. America Villa 115 and Harper Valla 115, and then Micaiah Thompson with a 140. And so that was a good day for the Eagles there. Finished second in a 7-team tournament. Some of those teams are contenders to get to state in the other sections. Our section is loaded with Dawson Boyd and Community Christian and ourselves. So it'll be a battle. So next week we've got our last two conference meets of the season. Tuesday in Dawson at 4:30, and then on Thursday at Valley Golf Course in Wilmer, Community Christians hosting that. And then Friday we'll travel to Tracy for the RTR Invitational and get prepared for the postseason and the conference tournament in Marshall on the following Tuesday, May 10th. So the girls been working hard, day at a time, a stroke at a time, one shot at a time, just improving, trying to become consistent, and they're doing a nice job of that. So it's been fun.
Gosh, once the season starts, it goes by fast, and you know, making postponements up in that, you're really busy. So you're rounding third and headed for home. Yeah,
it seems like it. You know, we've always considered postseason starting with the conference there on May 10th, and it's like some years you got to wait till you can get outside, and then once you're outside, it does get busy.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Thanks, Dick.
Kip Stender on girls' golf. After the break, we'll be talking with Barry Bessonen on boys' golf.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Spring Shop. Farm fresh eggs, $5.50 a dozen. Pork sausage links, 25% off. Perfect for easy breakfast or throwing on the grill. Or 20-pound beef bundle, $200. Rain or shine, we've got everything you need for hearty home-cooked meals this spring. Shop the Country Butcher on Main Street, Dawson. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturday 9 to 1, and closed Sunday and Monday. The Country Butcher, Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk boys golf with head coach Barry Bessonen. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
Well, boy, your team, you had a busy week this week, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a busy week. We played 3 days of 18 holes. Of course, Tuesday was a double conference meet in Raymond, so we had two separate conference matches there, plus a couple of other 18-hole tournaments.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tell us all about it then, Barry.
All right. On Tuesday, as I said, we played a double conference at Hawk Creek and Raymond, as McRae and Central Minnesota Christian both use that as their home course, so they each get a home meet, so we play them both in one day. We started with the McRae meet at 1 o'clock, and that turned out to be a kind of a dogfight there. We had a three-way tie for first with us, Dawson Boyd, and Central Minnesota Christian with the tiebreaker, which is the fifth score. Central Minnesota Christian got the win. Dawson Boyd got second. We ended up third with that. The individual race was a scramble, too. It was five players tied for first place with 39. Conditions were tough. It was cool. It was quite windy that day, so conditions were difficult. And for us, Griffin Crowns was one of those that placed, it was one of those top, five that tied for the lead with a 39. So a good round for him. Noah Hart followed up with a 40. Harris Borstedt at a 42. Caden Stender at a 46. Aaron Bonnet at a 47. Carson Tilbury rounded it out with a 50 for that first nine holes. Then we just kept playing, and when the kids made the turn onto the second nine, they switched their app over, and we went to the CMCS portion of the meet. So we played their nine holes then, and that one was a little tough on us. We had a few mistakes in there that cost us, and we ended up taking third. Again, there was a tie for first between Dawson Boyd and Central Minnesota Christian. Central Minnesota Christian again winning the tiebreaker. So they got first, Dawson Boyd was second, we were third. with Community Christian, Kirkhoven, Murdoch, Sunberg, McRae, and Ortonville behind us. That nine, we didn't 179, we didn't really have very many good scores. Our low scores were Griffin Kranz with a 43, Caden Stender with a 43. And then we went to Harris Borstead, 46, Aaron Bond, 47, Carson Tilbury, 47, and Noah Arndt with a 50. So it was, it was tough conditions, and we just kind of, a few incidents where we think we made a little better decisions and we might have come out with a little better score, but the other two team scores were tough to beat in that nine, and we just didn't play well enough to compete with them. So Wednesday, then we turned around, went down, and we played down at Oakdale Golf Club in Buffalo Lake, nice course outside of Buffalo Lake, in the United Invitational hosted by Sleepy Eye United. Which is their pairing for golf with Sleepy Eye Public and St. Mary's. They call themselves United, and they hosted this event. There are seven teams there. We ended up placing in a tie for fourth, where we actually won the tiebreaker. So we were fourth out of seven teams. Winning the tournament was Marshall with a 286. Marshall's got a very good team this year, and they had a 286, which is eight over par. Sleepy Eye United was second at 311 with they got a very nice team. They got a really good freshman player, shot even par, tied for first. New Ulm was third. Then we were, us and Dawson Boyd tied for fourth. So we got the tiebreaker. Then sixth was RTR, and then seventh was Mountain Lake. For us that day, we had Griffin Kranz and Noah Arndt both led us with 78, so they both were able to break 80 and had a good day. For us in that regard, we were followed up. Then we had Harris Borstead and Aaron Bond with 88th, and then Carson Tilbury with an 89. First time he'd broken 90 on the varsity, so that was a great day for Carson.
Good for him.
Without Caden Stender, who was unable to play due to illness, so we were playing a man down. But all those other guys were very pleased with their performance. And especially those younger guys that came to Carson, like I said, had a great day. So that was a good experience, great golf course, and it was a fun event. So that was Wednesday. And then Friday we went over to Wilmer to Eagle Creek, and we had a little kind of a pre-section four-team event with us, Dawson Boyd, Community Christian, and Benson. And we were able to win the tournament with a score of 330. So we get the win there, and nice day, a little cool, a little bit of breeze, but not bad, but, nice to get a win, under our belt and
good.
So our individuals, we had, Caden Stender and Noah Arndt both led us with 81s. They tied for third in the event. Aaron Bond had a great day with an 83. Then we went to Griffin Kranz with an 85, Grant Bierke with a 94, Harris Borstead with a 95, and then we were also able to have a couple players play as individuals, and Ryan Bierke and Carson Tilbury both shot 96 to round out our event. But it was a good chance to go over and play another competitive round at Eagle Creek as we get nearer to the section here coming up and the back half of May. So, it's always a good time to get over there and spend some time on Eagle Creek, especially when you can compete.
Yeah. Good. And you took first place yesterday.
Yeah, we did. So good. It was good for the guys to have that, to get that under their belt.
Okay. So what do you got coming up this week then, Barry?
Okay, this week we got our last two conference meets. Tuesday we go over to Dawson for their home conference meet at 4:30 on Tuesday. Thursday we go back to Wilmer to Valley Golf Course, their little golf course on the east side of town there, for the Community Christian event to round out our regular season conference meets. And then on Friday we're going down to Tyler for RTR's Invitational, which is, it's a 10 or 10:30 start, something like that. So we have those three things this week.
Yeah, and the season's coming to an end then. When's section? That's in Wilmer, right?
The first day of section is the 20th, so after next week we have two more events. The next week we have the conference tournament, and then we have a Benson invite, and then that'll end the regular season.
Okay, that section
sections.
Yeah.
sections of the 20th and the 27th.
Right, it's a two-day tournament, I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, good luck this week then, Barry. And,
all right, thank you.
We'll talk about it next Saturday then.
All right, sounds good.
All right, head coach Barry Besson and the Lacaparral Valley Boys Golf Team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
The Lacaparral Valley Softball Team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Chickasaw Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Traeger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borset Rock and Excavation, Kibble Equipment, Piotr Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, the Appleton Press, and the Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Myland Fire Department, the Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our Home Run sponsors for, and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's turn our attention to tennis. Lacaparral Valley, Dawson Boyd, good guys now they're called, right? Coach Austin Ireland joins
us. That's right. Yeah, that's right. They're good and bad. Depends on the day.
Okay. Yeah, so season kind of winding down on you guys, or how many matches you got left before section?
Yeah, I think we have 3 regular season matches left, and then, yeah, we're in the playoffs.
Oh, wow. Goes fast, doesn't it, Austin?
Once it's nice out, the season's about over.
Yeah. All right, tell us how the tennis team did this past week.
All right, thank you. On Tuesday, we hosted on our beautiful facilities. We hosted the Worthington Trojans. Worthington's there's only 2 classes now in tennis, A and AA, and their enrollment bumped them up to AA. But they were interconference and section for many years, so we still like to play them. And we ended up losing to them 5-2. It was a good matchup there. Let's go through the scores. Hudson Geezy at number 1 singles did a nice job. Ended up winning 6-1, 6-3. Aiden Manning, he kind of had it. It was a chess match. You know, him and Moises. Aiden ended up losing. He won the first set 7-5. Lost the second set 6-1. And then went to a tiebreaker for that third set. It was 7-6. And then ended up losing 10-8 in that tiebreaker. So, he had a little bit of a leg issue, and that was a really fun match to watch. It was just back and forth. At third singles, we switched up our lineup a little bit. We moved Thomas Felton. We moved him in usually a doubles play. We put him at singles. He ended up playing probably their best player, Riker Freaky. Thomas ended up losing 6-0, 6-2. And then Pepe Martin ended up getting the win at 4th singles against Nick Martinez. Pepe's starting to get the hang of it, starting to really, really, you know, figure it out. He ended up winning 6-3, 6-1. In our doubles, we had Brody Nelson. He likes doubles, you know, so we've kind of kept him in there. And then we bumped up Thatcher Johnson from second doubles. We ended up playing him, see what he can do at the one doubles. You know, he does a good job at 2. They ended up going 3 sets. They lost the first set in a tiebreaker. Won the second set 6-2. And then ended up losing that third set 6-4. We had Gannon Deasing, who's been at 2 doubles all year. We moved Aaron Will from 4th singles into 2 doubles. Aaron and them ended up winning the first set 6-1. And then they just kind of fell apart, lost 6-2, 6-0. And then at third doubles, we had Bentley Bergstrom and Landon Hirschman. They ended up losing 6-4, 6-2. So that was on Tuesday. And, yeah, yesterday we had a beautiful day. Ended up having the West Central Conference Tournament.
Mm-hmm. Where was that held at?
It was held at New London Spicer. We were kind of hoping maybe we'll get it at Lacaparral next year. We'll see how that goes. Got to get some AD to figure that out. It'd be nice to have, you know. But
yep.
I mean, we have probably the nicest facilities in the conference. So we'll see how that goes. We only have 7 courts, but 7's a lot better than most have. So
yep. How's the conference tournament set up? Who's all in the conference in the West Central Conference? You got the teams available there?
Yep. Yeah, six teams. Yep. It's all individual tournament. So yeah, all the one teams play each other in an individual tournament, and then yeah, that's, okay. Benson, Minnewaska, YME, Montevideo, and us. There's six teams.
Okay.
Into that. Hudson Geese at one singles, then I'm losing to Brady Backer, 6-4, 6-2. Dropped down, there was a bye in there, so I ended up getting fourth, beating Hadfield, 8-7. Played a Pro 8 for that constellation. Second singles, Aiden Manning lost to Jovio Martinez, 6-4, 6-0 from London. Ended up dropping him down to fifth place, ended up winning 8-4 for fifth. Third singles, Pepe Martin. He won his first round match against Ben Baldwin. 6-3, lost at 1-6, and then at 10-8 in a tiebreaker. Ended up losing in the third place match, or lost the semi 6-0, 6-0 to Drosch from New London. And then lost 8-5 for the third place match, so Pepe got fourth. Aaron Will ended up losing to Carson Petrick from Benson, 6-1, 6-2. Dropped him down to the fifth place match where he beat Adrian Leske from YME. And a tiebreaker, actually 8-7, 7-5, that tiebreaker. So a really close match with them. Our one doubles ended up losing first round in three sets to the Benson crew in the tiebreaker for the first set, and then 10-7 for that third set tiebreaker. Ended up dropping them down to fifth place where they beating Pendleton Lingi 8-2 for fifth place. Our second doubles, Thatcher Johnson, Gannon Thiessing, ended up winning their first round matchup against Wilcock and Mathiasen from Benson, 7-5, 6-2. Lost in the semifinals to Palmer and Mayan from Minnewaska, 6-1, 6-1. And then lost the third place matchup, so ended up getting fourth, 8-2 against Johnson and Bolt. And then third doubles, we had Zane Gilman and Landon Hersom. They lost first round they ended up losing first round, dropping down to that fifth place matchup.
Okay.
And then, Zane Gilman, he got his first win, adversity win in his career, and ended up 8-6 against Tennessee and them. So,
Who was that?
Zane Gilman.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Got his first win.
Yep.
Nice. So, all right.
Good step. So
do they crown a team champion at the conference, or how does that work, Austin?
The individual portion just kind of goes for all conference points, but there's a plaque because the regular season champion, and that was Minnewaska, was a regular season champion, so they got the plaque.
Okay.
But we got to win it back. It's been since, I think 2017 was the last time we won it, so it's been a few years. We got to get that back.
Okay, yeah, go for it. Mm-hmm. Anything else on the conference tournament and Lunan Spicer yesterday?
It was a good tournament. Thanks a lot to Brandon Hurley, assistant coach. I don't give him enough credit on the air. He does a phenomenal job. So appreciate him being there. And because there's, you know, eight courts, so sometimes we have four or five guys out on covered court. So it's really nice having him there and helping out. And he's very knowledgeable when we get him. So
okay, what's up next for the boys tennis team?
We're going to play Los Angeles and neutral site. We're going to meet them in Morris, meet them halfway. We're going to play them on Tuesday. And then we're going to go to Wilmer on Thursday. Again, the non-conference teams, non-section teams. So we can, you know, we got nothing to lose. Let's just try to gear it up before the playoffs start here. Looking at maybe the 5 seed. Just haven't been finalized yet. So,
okay.
Yeah. Fine-tune some things. So.
All right. So two matches to talk about next Saturday then.
Perfect. Yes.
All right, Austin, thanks for the report this morning, appreciate it. And pick up some wins next week, and we'll talk about it next Saturday.
Sounds like a plan. Hopefully great weather.
All right, thanks Austin Ireland, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lacapra Valley boys tennis team. We'll take a break, come back with more to Coach's Show after this. 5 o'clock from Madison Memorial Baseball Field for a huge Canby Conference baseball game when the Lacapra Valley Eagles host the Canby Lancers. First pitch, 5 o'clock Monday, right here on Q92. Tune in.
The time at 9:04. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again. Paul Remo at his usual position at the control panel. We've already talked to both golf coaches and the boys' tennis coach starting at 8:30, remember, in the spring sports season. We start a half an hour earlier, but John Sherb's in the studio talking boys and girls track. Well, fire away, just one event this past week.
Yeah, we had one event. Was kind of hoping to be actually be a decent weather. Weather didn't. It was started out okay, but then it the meet was cold and a little bit of that northwest wind, so it was not ideal. But it got cool. But the kids competed well, and we keep growing. We like if it's this has turned into this is they've now had this is the Memorial Meet. You know, if you remember Bob Gray, the athletic director, and he was our region, basically head of the region for athletics, and then also Darwin Tabeast. Those two have passed away this last year, so they turned into the Memorial, and I think they're going to try to keep this for as long as they can of having the Gray Tabeast Memorial Invitational. And so it was fun doing that. It was fun just kind of getting together and talking to people and see how it goes. So kids ran well. And again, we're continuing to grow. Like I said, we've beginning of the season, know where we're going to be. We've only had three meets, but we've taken some really nice strides. In the boys 100, our top runner in there was Elvis Belafile. He was eighth overall at 12.28. And then Josh Weber was 12th at 12.57. Jordan Love was 16th at 13.04. Tucker Lines was 20th at 13.27, and Jake Johnson was 21st at 13.31. Girls 100-meter dash, Emerson Erdman looked really good. You know, the young eighth grader has been running well for us. She finished second overall with a time of 13.77. So, again, she is really stepping up to the level. You know, when her first year off her track and everything else of how they handle it, and she's been competing very, very well for us in there. Greta Hacker was 6th at 14.65. And then we had Greta Fernals at 9th at 14.97. And then Reese Kuzmer was 14th at 15.46. And then Tenley Kranz finished in 18th at 15.78. 200-meter dash, Isaac Blum was 6th with a time of 25.03, followed by Adrian Speck. He was in 10th at 26.11. And then we had Scott Asfeld in 13th at 26.97, Jordan Love at 27.34 in 14th, and then Jake Johnson finished 15th at 27.35, and Griffin Kukemeister was in 16th at 28.32. Girls 200-meter, Kara Mamali, again, this is her first time getting a mark out of her, so she was actually in a slow heat, and she finishes third overall. Another young one's coming up, ran well. She broke the 30-second barrier. That's, again, in the girls' 200-meter dash, that's where you're trying to break 30 seconds, and she went 29.52. She finished third in there. Just, again, that's a great race for her to get in, see where she's at. Greta Hacker finished 13th at 31.54. Then we had Cameron Olson at 14th at 31.86, and Macy Coyer was 16th at 32.02. 400-meter run, moved some kids around a little bit, just kind of, we're trying to test some waters here, see where some kids can handle it. Cale Tufto was 4th overall, 56.64, and then Jordan Love went 10th at 103.33, which, again, he finally got back healthy, and he just, 100, 200 guy, and he was willing to try anything. So we went with him 1, 2, and the 4, and he did a nice job of filling in there. I know he was sore the next day we talked to him. He didn't realize he was going to be that sore the next day after doing it, but again, good to see him get in that mark. The 400-meter run, Micaiah Poost was 4th overall, 106.18. Then Julissa's Ramos was 12th at 114.5. Marley Ludvigsen was 13th at 115.57. And then Reese Kuzma was 14th at 117.13. 800-meter run, had a great finish by Tanner. Tanner really, he was in a distant third, but the last 100 meters, he made a big move to go after the kid. He ended up catching the kid right at the line to get second overall. He ended up getting second with 213.83, which is a personal best for him. So you got to like, he's peeking onto his level where he needs to be.
Last name?
Callis, okay. Tanner Callis. And then Matthew Botham finished 6th at 226.19. And then Kintaro Sorala was 10th at 236.86. And in the 800-meter run, Bryn Glege went out. Bryn went out hot to just to kind of just go and get and see what happens. She looked comfortable, very comfortable with it, running 226.71 to win it. Talia Hersham was 245.33. She was in third. And then we had Cambry Larson was 10th at 256.84. And that is a personal best for her. So she broke the 3-minute barrier. And so hopefully now I talked to her, I said her goal is to get under 250. That'd be her next goal to kind of shoot at to go at. Boys Mile, Colin Rosendahl, trying to get a mark out of him. I think that's his second time running the mile. He went 521.99. Excuse me, 99. He finished in fourth. I think, you know, clean up some things on that one. I think he got kind of caught in no man's land there, so he was all running by himself with that cool air. But still, to be able to get that mark in there, to have that and just hopefully build off that. Armando Higuera was 11th at 559.57. Girls Mile, Cambry also did the mile. She was fourth at 637.73, which is a personal best for her, too. Now, again, she keeps chipping away. We're going to, you know, our goal is in the 20s. Just keep chipping as we go. 3,200-meter run. We did not have any boys. Now, girls, Chloe came back after running the 4x8. Just I wanted to get a mark out of her. I was hoping the wind would go down. And the wind actually went down to really make it a solid 2 mile, but and it was also worked better for her. She got into the race with some of the boys. There were some boys around her mark that gave her a chance, a little bit of push to kind of drive herself, and she ran a personal best at 12:37.81, which is again trying to get some confidence out of her, trying to get that, you know, that mental part, and she really attacked well in that. 110 hurdles, Riley Borman was fifth, 20:03, and then in the girls 100 hurdles, we had Alexis Olson. She was third overall at 19:13. Cameron Olson was seventh at 22:39. And Ella Stock was ninth at 24:17. 4x1, and again, our relays are starting to come along, and that's the kind of the fun thing. We're starting to really compete. And our boys 4x1, again, didn't have the greatest handoff in one of our spots, but we're still able to finish and win it. 48:09. That was Josh Weber, Isaac Blum, Elvis Belafile, and Mason Botham. I forgot to mention in the 300 hurdles, Riley Borman had a bounce back in the 300 hurdles. He came back. His 110s weren't where he wanted to be. He ran another personal best in the 300 hurdles, 47.62. And then also Alexis Olson, she ended up finishing fourth at 55.53. So, again, they hate missing them all. I just kind of skipped on those hurdles. But the hurdles, you know, again, they're developing. That technique is coming along nicely. Girls relays, one thing that was neat about the meet we have not done in a long time, we won all the girl relays events, which we have not. It's been a while since we've been able to say that. And we just really are running well, and we're starting to get these girls moving. Girls 4x1, they won it with a time 56.63. And that was Macy Coyer, Julissa's Ramos, Kara Malley, and Emerson Erdman. In the 4x2 boys, we flipped that around, moved a couple of kids in, moved a couple of kids out, just trying to see what different moves would be. Finished second, 141.16. Elvis Belafile, Isaac Blum, Mason Bothan, and Jackson Hasted. Girls 4x2 turned into a serious dogfight. Prinsburg was out in front the whole way, and then the Monty team and us, we fought our way back into it. And then Julissa ended up catching the girl and held off them and just went and won it by 0.06 seconds. So, and again, we were third going into the last leg, and to close that hard down the straightaway to win it by 0.06 seconds, that's pretty good. And that was a great finish by her. Emerson Erdman, Julissa Ramos, Kara Mamali, and then Macy Coyer. Four by four boys, just kind of put together a crew. We're just kind of trying to find bodies where we're at with it. Little tight, little sore with the cold weather, but we still finished second, 350.47. Cale Tufto, Beckett Anderson, Tanner Callis, and Riley Borman. Borman got his baptism into the quarter, and like I told him, I said, anybody who's available, who's healthy, can still make a lap on the track, is going to be eligible. So and he just looked at his whole, first I was joking when I told him he was in it, but he stepped in nicely and did a really good job in there. 4x4 girls looked very, very smooth in there. Talia Hersham, they won it, 422. Bryn Glege, Micaiah Poost, and then Sadie Rosendahl. 4x8 boys, we moved Colin out. We moved some kids around him. We got Tanner, we got everybody else back in there just to kind of see what we got. Went 10:03.43 with some young legs in there. I know one of the legs was kind of sick, and he was trying to hang on and just to get to run in because we were short bodies, and finishing very well. So I'm happy with the way they're competing on that. Matthew Botham, Eddie Felton, Kantara Sorrell, and Tanner Callis. 4x8 girls, really, we put together, we're trying to figure out our fastest four, and Chloe got in there. We put her in there to see where she could fit in to make that team a little bit more interesting. Looked very good in that 4x8 girls. They went their fast time of the season so far, 10:42.39. That was Talia Hursum, Chloe Gleggie, Harper Grunholz, and Bryn Gleggie. Boys shot, Gabe Lowry was ninth overall, 33 feet 1 1/4 inches. Tucker Lyons was 31, right behind him in 10th, 31.9 3/4. And then we had Eli Arada was in 21st at 25.3, and Gavin Mosing was in 24th at 20 feet 2 1/4 inches. Girls shot put, Shayla Meyer finished 8th, 25.9 1/2. And then the boys discus, Gabe Lowry was 7th at 104.1, and that's a personal best. I believe that's his first time he has broken 100 feet in the disc, so you got to like to have that. And also, you know, part of the gray meet, I should mention too, Gabe and Ella Stock were our two nominations for award winners for us for the meet, and so those two got recognized out at the track before the meet started, so that was really good to see them with the recognition there. And the others in that discus, Eli Arada was in 17th at 73 feet 4 1/2 inches, and Tucker Lyons was in 22nd, 59 10 inches. The girls' disc, excuse me, I just got shot. Make sure my papers are sorry. Disc. In there on a girls' disc, we end up having Shayla Meyer. She finished 83 feet 2, and she was 5th. Boys' high jump, Jackson Hassel was 2nd at 5'8". Cale Tufto was 7th at 5'2". Caden Brent was 8th, and we finally got him back. He had an ankle injury early, so he has not been competing all season. Now he's coming back. We're going to try a little bit more with him next week, but he got our 5 foot. Elvis Belafile got our 5 foot and finished in 10th, and Matthew Botham cleared 5'10", and he was in 11th. In the girls' high jump, Sadie Rosendahl had a really nice jump there. She went 4'6". She won it with a 4'6" jump. Emerson Erdmans was in 6th at 4'4". Mary Holmgren was in 9th at 4' there. And the pole vault boys, Colin Rosendahl cleared 8'6". He finished 3rd. Kantara Sorrell was in 6th at cleared 6', and Eddie Felton also cleared 6', and he was in 8th place. Pole vault for girls, Sadie Rosendahl cleared 7. She finished at 5th, 7 feet she cleared. I always give her a hard time because she said it was cold outside. She wanted to vault with her sweatpants on, and I wouldn't let her do that because they're going, you've got to stay, handle the conditions and everything else, and this sweatpants are going to get in the way, and you're going to probably knock the bar off. She kind of gave the old look at that and tried to roll the eyes, couldn't quite finish the roll, and they said, yes, I'll do that. So, again, that's what you ask. Again, the weathers aren't great, but again, you can still handle what you got. Long jump, Caden Brent was 4th, which is his first time jumping also. Like I said, it's his first meet all year. So to finish 17 feet 10 1/2 inches, finish 4th, that's a really good start for him to see where he's at. Jackson Haston was in 6th at 17 feet 6 3/4. Becca Anderson was in 7th at 17 feet 3/4. And then Scott Asfeld was 13th at 16 1 1/4. Girls long jump, Morgan Anderson was in 5th. With a jump of 13 feet 4 inches. Reese Kuzman was in 8th at 12 feet 3 and 3 quarter inches. And then Ella Stock was in 21st at 10 and 11 and 3 quarters. Boys triple, Jackson Hasted was 38, finished 2nd, 38 feet 4 and a half inches. Followed by Beckett Anderson was in 3rd at 37 feet 9 and a quarter. And Jake Johnson was 6th at 34 feet 5 inches. Girls triple, Morgan Anderson was 3rd. 31 feet 3 inches. And Alexis Olsen was 4th at 30 feet 5 inches. Greta Hacker was in 7th at 28.4 1/4. Reese Kuzman was 8th at 28.1 1/4. And I believe that's her first time ever triple jumping, so to get that in. So, very good meet to find out where we're at. The conditions, again, weren't the greatest. Team scoring, right off the top of my head, I don't have the scores in front of me. Boys and girls, I think, let's see if I remember right off the top of my head, boys were 3rd and girls were also 3rd. So, again, kids around, we race on Monday, and we're going to move kids around again. We're going to have kids in events that maybe isn't their strength, but we're going to try to see if we can find a figure out, because in another week it's the conference. So we've got to fine-tune these things down if we're going to be in a hunt. It's a scary thing is you're going to go from hopefully having a 10-meet season to only probably have four by the time you get to the conference meet. So we've just gotten hammered this year for weather.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it goes by so fast.
Yeah, it does. And and what you got like, too, is the kids mentally are sharp. I mean, you think when you're practicing more and you want to practice and you lose that competing, it affects, and the kids have done a really nice job.
Well, okay. Is that the only meet?
Meet we've had. We've had our junior high kids. You know, we've got about 10 junior high kids been going, so they got meets next week. So they actually have the Camden Junior High Conference meetings next Thursday, so that'll be good for them to go there. So.
Yep. And but where is Mondays?
Monday we're going to Bold. Okay. That'll be I saw the weather forecast, and knock on wood, it's looking respectable. So we're looking at maybe some 60s. We'll go to Olivia. I believe it's a 4 o'clock start for field and 4:45 running in Olivia. So that'll be good because we'll see a bunch of teams from more of the eastern part of the old, well, it'd be the old Little Sioux Conference or the West Central we'll see. So that'll be kind of nice just to see some new faces we haven't seen.
Sure. Well, okay. Thanks for the report. Best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good. Thank you.
John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track. After the break, we'll be talking softball.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Spring showers bring sizzling deals at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. Stop in this week and stock up while the savings are pouring in at the Country Butcher. Farm fresh eggs, $5.50 a dozen. Pork sausage links, 25% off, perfect for easy breakfast or throwing on the grill. Or 20-pound beef bundle, $200. Rain or shine, we've got everything you need for hearty home-cooked meals this spring. Shop the Country Butcher on Main Street, Dawson. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturday 9 to 1, and closed Sunday and Monday. The Country Butcher, Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Okay. How much time do you want me to have, Dick?
Back here at the studio, talking softball now, and just two events against some very good teams, Scott.
Yeah. Yep, it was kind of a quiet but competitive week, and I guess we saved them all up for this coming week. It's a busy one coming up, so.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, well, on Tuesday we took on a YME team, which they've got a nice pitcher, a nice team, pretty seasoned, have been competitive over the years, and I knew this would be a tough game. We started off really slow, gave up 4 runs in the first inning, and other than that, I thought, you know, we were right in there, did some decent things, were able to compete, we just couldn't get the bats going, and Sneller, she's a tough pitcher, but she throws a rise ball, and so we struggled to. We talked about, hey, if it looks like it's at the belt and looks like a great pitch, we need to lay off it because it's going to keep rising. And we didn't necessarily have the discipline that we needed to for that. And then we let a lot of pitches at the knees go. But this isn't the one that we necessarily need. If we can see them in sections again, that's the one we need to get. So. We do have a nice lineup that I know will make the adjustment, but we only were able to muster up 3 hits on the day. We were able to get 2 walks. Aiden Bond, Maddie Geiser, and Raya Borsted were our 3 girls that got hits for us. Raya also had a double, so she did a nice job there, and she was our first hit of the game, kind of got us rolling. Riley Clark pitched for us, and I thought she did a nice job. You know, she did what she needed to do to give us an opportunity to be in that game. Like I said, the first inning we had some struggles. We gave up four runs, but after that, kind of we all settled into things and played a little bit better. Riley threw six innings, gave up nine hits, five runs, three of them were earned, had five strikeouts and five walks. So, but I think the bigger message here was, unfortunately, we got beat 6-0, but this game was their Jen Sneller, their head coach, had reached out and inquired if we'd like to be a part of their domestic abuse awareness game. And what they had is they had a young gal who played for Jen. I think she should be about 23 years old, but anyway, was tragically killed in a domestic abuse situation. So they do some really cool things to raise awareness for this. And so I think it was an opportunity for us to be a part of something that was just bigger than softball, and to make sure that we could send the message to these girls that they deserve to be treated the best. And so we didn't really talk softball after the game. We talked more about just life and whatnot. So it was a powerful message that we got that day.
Okay.
Then on Thursday we hosted TMB. TMB is they're always a competitive team. They've always got nice athletes. I think that their team looked very much like our team in terms of athleticism. I think their strength is at the plate, you know, like they've got some good hitters. So it was kind of a dogfight. We were able to get out of some jams early, and they scored three runs in the third. In the top of the third, we came back and scored two. They scored two more runs in the fourth, so it was 5-2. We scored four runs in the bottom of the fourth, so it was 6-5. They tied it up in the fifth, so it was 6-6, and going into the seventh inning, I was feeling pretty good about things because we had the top of the order coming up, it just things didn't work out. They were able to muster up some runs in the seventh and scored four runs on us in the seventh inning. So it was kind of a slugfest. They had 11 hits, we had 12 hits, and both teams had two errors. I thought we have to find a different approach to finding success at the plate. We had a hard time sitting back early. Probably went through at least two innings where I thought we wasted some good plate appearances and didn't necessarily have the timing ready. So I think we're going to have some discussions on that here this week about the focus before we even get up to the plate. So, but on that day, Aiden Bond was 1-for-4, scoring a run and had an RBI. Callie Kahn was 1-for-4. Maddie Geiser was 1-for-3. Abby Amlin was 1-for-4. Abby also made a nice catch out in center field that was taking her back to the fence, and she got twisted around a little bit, but she's been really solid defensively for us this year. Raya Borsted was 1-for-3, scoring a run. Eva Traeger was 2-for-3. She had a nice day at the plate, scoring a run. Carson Whitnable was 1-for-3 with an RBI and also scoring a run. Sadie Zarbuck was our big deal, if you will, on this date. She was 2-for-3 with two RBIs, scoring two runs. But Sadie had a triple in her first at bat, drove one to the right center fence. We've been kind of tinkering with her swing a little bit. She's so strong, and she drove one to right center, and she's also very fast. And then in her, I believe it was her next at bat, she absolutely launched a no-doubt home run for her first home run of her career. I mean, it darn near cleared the pine tree out in right center field, just crushed. And to see the smile on her face running around the bases was awesome. And then Maya Mortensen got in, and she hit for us, and she was 2-for-2. A nice little surprise for us. So she that was an exciting deal. So that we had 12 hits on the day, scored six runs. Maybe left a few out there that if we had some timely hitting happen, would have helped out. But that's the way the game goes. So we ended up losing that game 10-6, in kind of a big game for us. So we ended the week on an 0-2 note. So now we've got to find a way to re-energize and attack this busy week coming up.
Okay. B-squad, C-squad?
Yeah, so they had some busy games, or, you know, a few games this week, too. The one that I have on my books here, it was a tough one against Montevideo, but we had our younger girls playing, and because we were under the impression it was a more of a junior high type game, and I think they had some older girls playing, and so it is what it is. They got that experience to see a game a little bit faster, but so hopefully they can improve on how things turned out that game. I don't have a final score on that one. I know it was kind of a tough one.
Okay. Well, and next week, a busy schedule.
Yeah, we do have a busy schedule. So on Monday, we're scheduled to play RTR on Monday, and then we had a weather-delayed game with Bold that we have moved then to Monday as well. So we'll play RTR at 4:30, and then we'll turn around and play Bold at 6 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, we will play a doubleheader in Dawson. And on Thursday, we play a doubleheader against KMS. And then on Saturday, we go to Obaso for three games in a tournament. And we see Edgerton Southwest Christian in the first game there. So we have nine games in 6 days. our pitchers are going to have to be ready. They're going to have to dig deep. And, we'll get after it. And then, as you know, I heard Sherb talking too before. The season's winding down quickly. It goes so fast.
Yep.
So we'll have, I think, I don't even know that next week, at least one game, and then it's tournament time.
Yeah, that's right. So, okay, well, it's the same for everybody, so, yeah.
Yeah, right on.
Thanks for the report, and we'll touch base with you probably during the week, next week.
Yeah.
You have to catch up with the weekend stuff the following week. So
right on. Yep, that sounds good.
That's Scott Swatsky on softball. We're going to have a talk with Molly Hennon on boys volleyball. They had a big match in Wilmer on Tuesday, and we'll hear all about it after the break here.
The Lacaparo Valley softball team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Chickasaw Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Chugger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borset Rock and Excavation, Kibble Equipment, Piotr Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, the Appleton Press, and the Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Myland Fire Department, the Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our Home Run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
Farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. At Haugen Insurance Agency, we understand the unique challenges you face every day. With our many years of experience, we are able to assess your needs and match the right coverage with your operation, whether you're a small family farm or a large operation. Our dedicated team is here for you, providing support and expertise every step of the way. Protect your crops and your livelihood with confidence. Visit us on the web at HauganCropINS.com to learn more. Haugen Insurance Agency, a farmer's helping hand.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, May 1st through Monday, May 4th in Theater 1. It's The Devil Wears Prada 2, opening nationwide. That's rated PG-13, The Devil Wears Prada 2 in Theater number 1. And in Theater number 2, it's a romantic comedy, You, Me, and Tuscany, rated PG-13. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
It's the 65th annual Hanley Falls Fire Department Smelt Fry, also serving Pollock, Saturday, May 2nd, serving from 3 to 9 p.m. Proceeds towards the Hanley Falls Firemen's Relief Association. That's Hanley Falls Fire Department Smelt Fry, Saturday, May 2nd, 3 to 9 p.m. Hope to see you there.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's turn our attention to La Caparra Valley Boys Volleyball with head coach Molly Hennen. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning, Paul.
Wow. Was that fun last Tuesday in Wilmer or what?
Yeah, it was super fun. We had a lot of people come support, so I think it was really fun for the guys and fun to see a lot of fans come support.
Yep, that's for sure. I tell you what, let's talk about that match. You brought the JV up and the junior high up, too.
Yeah, so the junior high, they're playing through club right now, and they're actually playing varsity teams through the club, kind of like we've done the last 2 years. So they were able to play Wilmer's varsity, and they competed well against them. So people were able to watch them. And then, yep, JV and varsity played St. Cloud Tech. Mm-hmm. And yeah, JV and varsity both got wins, so it was really fun.
So, because of travel distance, St. Cloud Tech met you guys in Wilmer halfway there. That's how that came to be,
yeah.
Right?
Yep, okay. It was just a halfway point. So it was nice that Wilmer was able to let us host our game there. So,
yeah, beautiful facility there at the Civic Center, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a really cool gym, for sure.
Yep. Yeah, and the crowd, La Caparra Valley crowd showed up. It was fun to see all the people that come to support the boys' volleyball team in Wilmer.
Yeah, it was. That was kind of our home game for this year, but I know Andrew's kind of in the works. We already have one home match scheduled against Spring Lake Park, I think, for next season already, and then I think he has two others that are will be potential home matches for next year, too.
So awesome. Awesome. Good. All right. Let's go through some stats and the scores.
Yeah. So, one second. Let me pull up. We started out, we like I said, we played these guys before. We kind of knew they hadn't had a great season. They were 0-6, I think, before we played them. So we kind of tried some different things with our rotation. We ended up winning the first set 25-12, 25-15, and then 25-16. We had Jaden Redepenning in the middle front, so he got 5 kills for us. Houston Heathen had 7. Smirkson Sepinon 4. Rodson Cassinon 3. Thomas MS 6. And then Arson Gico led with 10. We had quite a few blocks this game. Jaden Redepenning had 3 blocks, Houston had 1, Thomas Emmis 2, and then Arson Gico 2. We also contributed quite a few aces in this match. We did a lot of jump serving, so that was fun to see. Sarson Rubin, who's only an 8th grader, he's been playing JV and some varsity. He had 6 aces, so he led with aces on varsity. Thomas had 1, Arson Gico 3, Jason Awanis 4, and then Abraham Gico 4. So I think that's the most aces we've ever had in a match before, so that was really fun to see.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the serving. Andrew told me that you practice that a lot, the serves.
Yeah, we have, all of them are pretty good at jump serving, but there's some that we kind of tell, maybe get a couple over first, regular serving, and then you can try jump serving after that. So it's fun for the ones that haven't really jump served in any of our tournaments yet. They were able to try that in that game. So that was fun to see.
Good.
For Diggs, Jaden Redepenning 1, Starson Rubin contributed 8, Smirkson Sepinon had 2, Thomas Emmis had 17, Arson Gico 4, Jason Awanis 1, Abraham Gico 6, Ian Nukafit 6, and then Sedesis. The Merckx and Sepinon had 1, Thomas Emmis 15, and then Abraham Gico 11. So, yeah, I thought everyone played really well. We did a lot of good things front row behind the serving line as well. I thought Thomas did a really good job at mixing it up for sets. Jaden hasn't gotten a ton of experience, but from the beginning of the season, he's shown a lot of growth with his hitting approach and stuff. So it was fun for him to kind of get that attention, because I think every time he got it set it to, he got a kill. So the team was super excited for him.
Yeah, I think we gave a couple player of the game t-shirts out in the first set. Was that Arson that had them like 4 ace serves in a row there?
Or who was that?
I think that was Starks and Reuben.
Yeah, yep. Starks and Reuben. Yeah, Reuben. Yep, 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 yep. That was impressive.
Yes.
Is sir, yeah. They got a really tail on it.
Yeah, he probably is one of our toughest jump servers. That was actually his first time serving in a varsity match.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was impressed with that.
Yes.
You know, I should let her know, the St. Cloud Tech guys, they're well over 6 foot, 6'5", 6'7". And, you know, they just served it right over them. It was pretty cool.
Yep. We don't have the height on our team, but
nope.
We've been working on blocking a lot because I think that's probably one of our weaknesses with, you know, playing these taller teams.
Right,
so.
Right. All right, anything else on the match, or did we get through everything there, or set three?
I think okay. I just should add, I thought we did good job, too, hitting from the back row. Sometimes we forget our back row players can hit. Arsene Gico, he plays outside all the way around, so he plays his own back row as well, and he's probably one of our toughest from the front row and the back row as far as hitting, I would say. And most
who's that, Molly?
Arsene Gico.
Okay.
So he is able to hit, you know, front row, back row, and I thought we did a good job. I think when they took a timeout, we said we should try to do some back row attacks, you know, so it was fun to see them do that just because I think we do it a lot in practice, but then I think when it comes to a game, we forget that we can hit from the back row too. So
right.
That was really fun.
Okay. Yeah, great atmosphere there in Wilmer on Tuesday. I want to thank Hope Schmidt for helping me out. She does a great job on the broadcast, and it's just great to see all the support. A lot of students showed up, parents, grandparents. It was just a fun time.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. I thought we had quite a few fans show up, and then we had you obviously come broadcast, and then Joe Brown was there from West Central Tribune.
Yep.
So, and then we actually had someone come from Mankato that's doing a story on the Micronesians and Milan. So it was kind of fun to have all of them there too.
Yeah, I visited with him, the guy from Mankato. He's from Forum Communications or something. And he told me what he was doing, and I thought that was awesome. So,
yeah.
And I know Boyd Hooper from Care 11 was out the week before doing a piece on his Land of 10,000 Stories.
Yes. Yep.
Did you get an air date on that yet, Molly, or not?
I thought it was going to be early May, but then Andrew actually just told me he thought May 18th, just because with the Timberwolves being, such a big part of it right now on TV, I think they didn't think they would get as many viewers, so I think they're going to hold off until middle of May. So.
Okay, good. We'll keep you up to date on that. So, and JV and junior high, you mentioned how they did Tuesday?
Yeah, okay. I think junior high, they ended up playing five sets, and I think they won two out of the three against, you know, varsity. So they're playing juniors and seniors. JV had, they usually play two out of three. I think they just played a third for fun to 15. But, yeah, they won all three sets as well. So.
Good. All right, what's coming up next for the Lac La Parle Valley boys volleyball team?
So we go to Battle Lake on Tuesday. That's kind of a halfway point between us and Bemidji, so JV and varsity will play Bemidji that night, and then we have our last tournament is that following Friday, Saturday, so May 8th and 9th at St. Michael Albertville we play. So
yeah, that's a big tournament. Then the section begins after that then?
Yeah, so then we'll have 2 weeks of practice before playoffs, which will start that last week of May. I think our first match would be on the 26th, that Tuesday.
Okay.
And then, yeah, just like regular playoffs, if we win, we go back up on that Thursday, the 28th, and then Saturday. So,
is there any chance of having a home playoff game, you think?
I think it depends on seeding, but
okay.
I think there's probably a low chance just because we don't, you know, get as many games as the other teams. So,
gotcha.
But, yeah, it all depends on seeding.
All right. All right. Well, good luck this week up at Battle Lake. So you're meeting Bemidji halfway then on Tuesday.
Yes. Yep.
Anything about Bemidji?
No, I was actually going to do some looking on Huddle, and then I also have the NSBN network. So I'll probably watch some tape, and then we were supposed to have practice on Friday, but a lot of our guys are sick right now, so we were going to watch film on them, but hopefully we just decided to take a day off and rest, so we have a big week next week, so we'll probably do some watching of film on Monday before the game.
All right, Molly, thank you for the report on the boys' volleyball team. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that's head coach Molly Hennon of the Lockport Valley Boys Volleyball Team. We'll take a break. We'll talk with head coach Darby Birg on the baseball team right after this.
Coming up on the next Prairie Sportsman, we join 2021 National Walleye Tour Angler of the Year Drake Hurd to do some late-season ice fishing near Alexandria.
Ooh, look at that one.
That's a big one.
And Barry Tholey welcomes us to his farm where he's raising native minnows and doing all he can to save the live bait industry in Minnesota.
There's about 37,000 golden shiners in here right now.
Sunday at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS.
At City Hall Bar and Grill, we say come for the food and stay for the fun. Hey, it's Troy, and if you've got an event coming up, we'll bring the great food to you. That's right, City Hall Bar and Grill offers full-service catering for just about any occasion, from work events and weddings to graduations, reunions, and backyard parties. We've got the menu and the experience to make it easy. Let City Hall Bar and Grill handle the food so you can enjoy the party.
Looking for something unique? Don't miss the estate sale of Ruth Ann Lee, featuring a wide variety of items from the Hollywood on Main, all under one roof at the Hollywood in Montevideo. Shop Friday, May 1st from 4:30 to 8, then Saturday, May 2nd, and Sunday the 3rd from 10:30 to 6. Then mark your calendar. May 8th kicks off Elvis Weekend. And May 9th is Elvis Sale Day from 10:30 to 3. The entire Elvis collection goes up for sale, some priced, some by silent auction. Wrap it up May 10th from 9:30 to 6 with sale for all items. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind estate sale at the Hollywood on Main in Montevideo. Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join me Monday at 5 o'clock from Madison Memorial Baseball Field for a huge Canby Conference baseball game when the Lacaparral Valley Eagles host the Canby Lancers. First pitch, 5 o'clock Monday, right here on Q92. Tune in.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. We're going to turn our attention to baseball. And Darby, you were supposed to have three games this past week, but you did get two games in, and pretty good outcomes on both of them.
Yeah. We came into the week thinking we were going to be throwing three games and trying to figure out how our pitching depth would work out that way. But luckily or unluckily, however you want to look at it, our game on Monday against Dawson has been postponed till May 15th. So just move another game back to another week with more games in it. And that's okay. We learn at it by adversity. But we are still able to go to Ortonville on Tuesday and go down to Lakeview on Thursday.
Okay. Let's talk about the two games starting with Ortonville.
Sure. Yep, so on Tuesday we headed up to Ortonville. Cold day, end of April. It's time to get some warm weather, some baseball weather here soon, but the boys played through it, bundled up, and we came away with a 12-1 win. On the day we had 12 runs, 7 hits. We did commit 2 errors. We put up the first 2 runs in the third. It's kind of something that we're trying to break. We're kind of quiet our first time through the lineup in most of our games, so we'd like to kind of push some runs across earlier than the third, which we've been doing quite a bit lately. But we put up 2 in the third. We put up 4 in the fifth. Ortonville got their lone one in the fourth, 5 in the fifth, and that was the end of the game by the 10-run rule after 5 innings. Okay. On the day, Gavin Mortensen was 2-for-3 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs. Grant Bierke was 2-for-3 with 3 runs, a double, and it was 2 RBIs. Nolan Smith had 2 stolen bases with an RBI. Brant Schomer was 1-for-1 with 2 runs, a stolen base, and 3 walks. Jackson Fernolds was 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs. That was a 2-strike, 2-out hit that was a big hit for us to left field, so that was fun to see Jackson battle and get those runs batted in. Malcolm Lilliard had a run. Easton Fernolds was 1-for-3 with 2 runs and a stolen base, and Max Young scored 2 runs for us. On the mound, Nolan Smith started. He got the win. He went five innings, seven strikeouts, one walk, four hits, one earned. It was one run. It was not earned, and he finished the game under 100 pitches in those five innings. So nice outing by Nolan. He kept the ball low. I know he wants that walk back. It would have been nice to finish with a zero on the walk, but you know, he's still. Keeping under 100 pitches and a complete game win is a big accomplishment too. So that put us at 6-1 on the year and 5-0 in the conference. So we had another conference game down in Lakeview on Thursday, and we came away with a 7-0 win there. We put our first run up in the second. We put up three in the third, one in the fifth, and two in the seventh, and Lakeview did not score. We had other opportunities to score, whether it was base running mistakes by the coaches telling people to go or not go, or it was us being aggressive, and that's all right. We learned from that. That's okay. But we had seven runs, seven hits, and no errors on the day. So that was our first errorless game. So it was, the boys were playing really good defense, some really nice plays behind our pitcher, Jackson Fernholz. On the day, hitting, Gavin Mortensen was 1-for-4 with a run and a stolen base. Grant Bierke was 2-for-4 with two runs and three stolen bases. Nolan Smith was 1-for-3, three runs. It was a double that he had, two stolen bases and RBI. And I do have to shout out Nolan Smith's base running. There was a play between second and third where there was two outs, and I got after him for not running and with two outs. And he said, but you guys teach us not, or coach us not to run into a tag. And I'm like, yeah, thanks for... I guess thanks for not listening to me and not listening to me, so and listening to me, I should say. So I had to apologize to Nolan in the dugout for getting after him. I'm like, yep, you're exactly right. That's what we coach you. So Brant Schomer was 1-for-2 with one run. One, the hit was a double. He had two stolen bases. He had a sacrifice and two RBIs. Tanner Tilbury was 1-for-3 with one RBI and one stolen base. Jackson Fernholz had a run and a stolen base. Carter Moen was 1-for-4. He should have been 2-for-4, but the center fielder made a diving catch to steal a hit away from him. And Easton Fernholz was 0-for-2, but he had a sacrifice and an RBI. So sometimes, you know, it doesn't help your average, but you're doing good things for the team by hitting in RBIs, and we've had several guys do that in both Thorntonville and the Lakeview game. They were able to find a way to manufacture and get a run in or move our runners up. Jackson Fernholz started on the mound for us. He went seven innings. He had eight strikeouts, one walk. He gave up three hits, no runs, and no earned runs, obviously, if there's no runs. And he, too, was under 100 pitches in seven innings. Wow. So Jackson just filled up the zone with strikes and challenged every batter, and it was fun to see. There was several times that he would go 3-0 counts, and he battled back and got the batters out, either striking them out or getting a ground out or fly ball or whatever it was to get the batter out. So Jack, it was fun to see that. Usually when you're 3-0, you're a little worried about giving up free bases with walks, but Jackson battled back several times with that. So after that win, that put us at 7-1 overall, and we are now 6-0 in the conference with some big conference games coming up this next week.
Yeah. How about the other teams this week?
Sure. So JV, they went one. They won in Ortonville, and then they won again in Lakeview. So they were 2-0 in the week. And while we're talking about that, we need to give a very, very big shout out to Braden and Emily Kennedy. Sorry, got to say it right. Braden and Emily Kittleson. They just had their new baby girl. Lila Marie Kittleson was born this morning. This is on recorder, 12:39 Friday morning. So congratulations to them. He was not at the game because he had more important things to tend to, and we totally understand that and are super happy for Emily and Braden. So our junior high, they had several games. They first started on Tuesday against CMCS, and they beat CMCS in five innings. And then the 7th and 8th grade played against Cambie on Thursday. 7th grade came out, it was a close game, but they ended up losing, and then the 8th grade turned back and got a W. So they went 2-1 technically on the week.
Okay.
So,
well, you got a busy week ahead of you with four games.
That we do. Actually, we got three. We've got Cambie on Monday at home, yep. RTR Friday, Tuesday at home, and then Central Minnesota at CMCS on Thursday. But we do have our weekend tournament, so we've got a lot of games with
five
the weekend.
Games, yeah.
Yeah, we actually have five if we count the Saturday, where we have Border West and Adrian coming to town on the 9th for a little three-team tournament.
Okay, well, best of luck in those games. We'll talk about three of them on the next Culture Show, and then three games at Madison Memorial Field, starting with the I believe Lacaparra Valley and Adrian, then Adrian and Border West, and then Lacaparra Valley and Border West. So those will be fun games to come down
that,
and watch.
That sounds right, and I think the first pitch starts at 11 o'clock Saturday morning.
That's right. Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on those three games that we can talk about next week, and we'll hear all about it.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Dick.
That's Darby Birgon on baseball. We'll take this break and be back with more of the Culture Show.
Paul Raymond here for Q92 Sports. Join me Monday at 5 o'clock from Madison Memorial Baseball Field for a huge Camden Conference baseball game when the Lacaparra Valley Eagles host the Camby Lancers. First pitch, 5 o'clock Monday, right here on Q92. Tune in.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Back here in the studio, great culture show with all the sports. We got them all in this time. Molly Hennen with the boys volleyball, and they're doing a great job. Well, we're going to end the program with Dick Newman. Well, it's not really a joke. It's a well-known, I call them maybe a unknown laws. The law of random numbers. If you dial the wrong number, you never get a busy signal. Someone always answers that. Okay, another law, the law of the bath. When the body is fully immersed in the bathtub, the phone rings. And finally, this is my favorite, the Murphy's Law of Lockers. If there are only two people in a locker room, they'll always have be assigned to adjacent lockers. Well, thanks for listening. Tune again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.